Also join the missionary conference weekend. Many thanks for your very kind invitation. The first time I was at the missionary conference here, I shared it with our brother Walter Boyd in the last weekend in March 1993. We set off from Broxbourne, Hertfordshire at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And my vivid memory was of the chairman for the afternoon, our brother Ken Jennings, at 3 minutes to 3. It was in the Spencer Bridge Road Gospel Hall car park. We made it just in time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace was bestowed upon me. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I laboured more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So we've been asked, our brother Paul and I, this evening, to give an account, if you like, of our conversion and call. But what I want to do initially, please, with the Lord's help, is to emphasise on the first evening that we're not here to promote ourselves. We're not here to promote ourselves based upon this particular verse. I am what I am. We're what we are, Sue and I, only by the grace of God. Like yourselves here in Northampton and in the county of Northamptonshire, we are those saved by divine grace. Once, Romans chapter 6, we were servants of sin. Moment of conversion, the new birth experience, sins forgiven, declared righteous before a holy, just God. We became servants of the living God. It's God's work. It's not our work. All work for God, whether at home or abroad, is for the glory of God. Nehemiah, subsequent to receiving at least 4 invitations, 4 letters, his great reply was in Nehemiah 6 and verse 3, I am doing a great work. The emphasis wasn't upon Nehemiah and his particular work, but Nehemiah recognized under divine guidance and sovereignty that the work that Jehovah had called him to in capital city Jerusalem was a great work. And whether at home in Northampton, Northamptonshire, or abroad in Uganda, Scotland, the UK, or for Sue and I, for the last 28 years in the land of Romania, brethren, God's work is a great work. We're involved in the greatest project on planet Earth. Our brother Paul was just mentioning he'd been up to the Tyneside 3-day conference. I can remember the first time I went there in September 1995. And on the Saturday evening, sharing the Saturday evening conference with our brother Sam Hanlon, who gave a superb report of God's work in Honduras, an assembly planting in early days. And he used these words that I'll use tomorrow afternoon. In the year 1902, the message was sent across the transatlantic, what God hath wrought. And that's what we're, with the Lord's help, going to do tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening to show, whether in Uganda or in the land of Romania, what God has done in the past and what God is doing in the present for his blessing and for his eternal glory. Dr. Luke would write in Acts 14 and verse 27, "And when they," that's Paul and Barnabas, "were come and had gathered the church, the local assembly in the city of Antioch together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he, the sovereign God of the universe, had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." So I was born into a Christian home. But obviously, salvation is not inherited. John 1, verses 12 and 13 would clearly teach us, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So from a young age, I went to Sunday school in Shrewsbury in the county of Shropshire. Sunday morning and Sunday evening, my father used to help out in a very small village assembly where he'd been brought up, the village of Clive. And from an early age, I tried to figure out the Lord's Supper. And one Sunday morning, I had it all figured out in my young mind of 8 or 9. There was definitely a theme going that Sunday morning. So I gave him a sharp nudge in his ribs. I said, "The theme's the Lamb of God. And here's a hymn to give out." His eyes remained shut and he didn't give it out. That was Sunday school in Shrewsbury Gospel Hall. Sunday morning and Sunday evening in Clive Gospel Hall, that I think closed in the late 1970s, early 1980s. But my father, who from the age of 14 was a hairdresser in Shrewsbury, he then decided in 1970 to sell his business and to buy a grocery business in North Wales. And in between, we spent a month on the island of Malta. In those days, there was an assembly, the Gospel Hall in Valletta. So every Lord's Day, we used to go to the Gospel Hall Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And one Sunday evening, after the gospel preaching, there were some tracts. So when we got back to where we were staying, in a little flat in Massa Scala, in the south of the island, I read this gospel tract and put it into practice. And that night, I got saved by the grace of God. And then followed subsequently the ups and downs of teenage years and the Christian life. Often in life, there are a number of key issues, key decisions, key moments. In February 1979, I got on a train from Chester to London, Houston, and then up to Hartford. The next day I was to start at Hatfield Polytechnic for a foundation course in accountancy for 12 months. And my father said to me on Chester Railway Station, "Make sure you go somewhere on Sunday. No addresses, no contacts." And so after a week, first week at Polytechnic, I started to look around. I thought, my dad said something, I must do it. So I was walking around Hartford, the town of Hartford, and in the same street, there's the Baptist Church. Opposite, I think, was the whatever church, and somehow I saw this name, the Gospel Hall. I thought, well, I used to go there in Shrewsbury. Well, I'll try that Sunday evening. So I looked at the notice board, turned up 6:30 Sunday evening, and used to continue to go along. Believers were very, very kind. And then I stayed on during the summer months and worked for the NHS. It's never been the same since. Having said that, one Sunday evening, a man came down from Scotland. He was obviously tipped off what to say. He'd obviously heard that there was somebody turning up that was saved but not baptized. So in the gospel meeting, the Scotsman decided to preach just on the message of baptism. That night, God spoke very clearly to me. And in the October of that year, I was baptized in Harlow Gospel Hall. And then subsequently, received into Assembly Fellowship in Hartford. There was a steep spiritual learning curve. Hartford then was a small assembly. So I used to attend all the assembly meetings. I used to go, and we used to go to all the conferences and Saturday night meetings. Started to get involved in personal Bible study. You know, I think it's great what you're doing in Northampton, these, you call it workshops. It's a brilliant idea. 40 years ago, I did not have a clue how to study the Bible. 25 years ago, in what was called, came out of Canada, the Council magazine, our brother Eric Parmenter had a series of articles that I rehashed. How to study the Bible. They were great. And we've been able to have them translated subsequently into Romanian and would use them to encourage and to help. They're basically the biblical principles of Bible study. Looking for key words, key expressions, themes, etc., etc. And so I started feebly studying the Word of God, burning the midnight oil. In March 1980, after a year at Hatfield Polytechnic, I found my first job, ACT, Australian Container Transport Limited, in Fentreach Road, London. After 5 months, I thought, well, I can get more money than this. So I got a job in Watford for Odams, the printers, 2,000 employees. And then I thought, this is 9 to 5. I've got a few spare hours. I need to earn a bit more money. I'll try and find a job from 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock. And for 3 months, I looked for a second job. I never found it. That was the Lord saying, no. Invest your time in God's work, in studying the Word of God. Commence secular employment. In parallel with that, involvement in God's work. After 13 months, I then managed to get a job for Times newspapers in Gray's Inn Road. A great job, 9 till 5, 6 weeks holiday a week, a 9-day fortnight, which meant you had a 3-day weekend every 2 weeks. So I was able to spend the time studying the Word of God. In parallel with that, I was given the opportunity in the small assembly in Hartford of every 3 weeks, speaking to about 40, 50 children in those days, a simple Bible lesson at the Sunday school. After a time, I was offered the chance of a Sunday school class. That gave me the opportunity of preparing lessons on a weekly basis. In parallel with that, We are able to commence in the assembly, gospel tracting in the town of Hartford. As the years went on, there are invitations to preach the gospel Sunday evenings, and then during the week, Bible teaching, ministry, meetings. Our call, in fact, any call, emphasizes the nature and character of God Himself, His sovereignty. He's head of the church. He's in absolute control. He never makes a single mistake. He's patient. Divine faithfulness. God is faithful. Divine provision. Genesis 22, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Moses, in Old Testament times, experienced a threefold call. Exodus 3, from the burning bush, it was a call to service. And the Apostle Paul teaches in Colossians 3, ye serve the Lord Christ. Exodus 19, it was a call from the Holy Mount. It was a call to holiness. And Peter would say, be holy, for I am holy. Exodus 3, the bush, service. Exodus 19, from the Holy Mount, holiness. Leviticus 1, a call from out of the tabernacle, a call to worship. The Father seeketh worshippers. And as believers, we all have individually a threefold calling, a high calling. Philippians 3 and verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. A high calling, the heavenly calling of Hebrews 3 and verse 1. Thirdly, a holy calling. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. Who hath called us? Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In August 1985, Sue and I were married and then set up home in Cheshunt, in Hertfordshire. The following month, I was given the opportunity on Monday evenings of jointly running a Bible study group for younger, between the ages of 12 and 20, young men. The following year, 86, our brother Martin and Margaret Baker moved from North London to the Cheshunt Assembly. So we used to hear from our brother Martin first-hand reports of their visits to these different Eastern European countries. In that year, I joined Hill Samuel in the city, the merchant bankers. Great training for me. Long hours, intense pressure at certain times. Every 6 months, 6 weeks of the year, 12 to 14 hours, 6 days a week. Good preparation for what lay ahead in full-time service for God. I didn't know that at the time. But then, in January 1989, I was able to take 2 weeks' holiday and went with our brother Martin Baker to Poland for the first time. A great opportunity to see firsthand and to be able to teach the Word of God using a Polish interpreter. When Martin came back in February 1990, when the doors after the dramatic revolution opened up into Romania. He gave a report for 10 minutes, 15 minutes after the Lord's Supper in the Chesentert Assembly. And he said, there's many opportunities for Bible teaching. So when I got him at the back of the hall, I said to him, when can we go? And so in August 1990, Sue was then a primary school teacher in one of the schools in Chesent behind the Gospel Hall. I took another 2 weeks holiday and we went with Martin and Margaret Baker. So we travelled from north to south to see firsthand Romania. Great opportunities for gospel preaching and Bible teaching. We went up to the north in Siret, travelling through Suceava, not knowing that 30 odd years later we would have a literature storage facility 2 miles out of the city of Suceava. That was August 1990. The following January, I went to Poland for another 2 weeks. I was on these long hours, building up the flexi time, loads of holiday. So in 1991, in August, Sue and I went out for a month with the Bakers to Bulgaria, Hungary, and particularly Romania. And then in April 1992, I made my first solo visit, flying into Budapest for a few days' meetings in an assembly outside of Budapest, and then flying to Romania for a 10-day visit. So I was married, a job, increasing involvement in God's work locally and in Chesent. Most Sunday evenings preaching the gospel in the home counties. 2 nights a week giving ministry in the London and southeast area. However, there's a danger that the Christian life and service can become a conveyor belt. There's a danger in just going through the motions. On the 15th of September 1990, I was invited by default to the York Street annual ministry conference. Somebody pulled out at the last minute. So I was invited. But what stuck in my mind was a conversation. Obviously, it was 69 miles an hour coming down the M1 from Leicester to Chesent that Saturday evening. And Sue and I discussed the possibilities of me at the age of 50 taking early retirement at the age of 50. We were available for God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? These are the scriptures and the biblical principles in the scriptures. I can remember at the Uxbridge Conference in the early 1980s, Eric Hughes from Liverpool teaching us this. Do what you can, when you can, where you can. And our brother John Riddle used to preach, it's better to bust than to rust. As it was written outside a church hall one day, beware of spiritual corrosion. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Christian lives need to be laid on the altar for God. So God was working progressively in our lives. Spiritual experiences and impressions. Opportunities at home and abroad to live and to serve God. At this stage, absolutely no thought of what we term full-time missionary service. However, there was an increasing exercise and burden to help assembly life and testimony in these different Eastern European countries in our spare time in the holiday period. In May, Sue and I were convinced that my job had to go. And so on the 23rd of June, 1992, I visited our brother Martin Baker. 4 evenings later, our brother John Riddle came to our home. And I said to our brother John, "We feel burdened and exercised and called by God to leave our jobs." He'd already said to one of the elders, our brother David Tinkler, who's obviously been to Spentonbridge Road over the years to give a report of school work in Hertfordshire, "I think I know what Paul's about to tell me." In July, whilst waiting for the elders in the Chesant Assembly to give us the red or the green light, I had 2 significant phone calls in the bank. One Tuesday afternoon, the phone went. "Get up to the 8th floor in 2 minutes. There was the finance director, and he said to me, "Get qualified. We've got excellent opportunities for you in Hill Samuel, but you must be qualified. We want an answer from you." I said, "I'll give you an answer in 7 days. 6 days later, the phone went. Martin Baker said, "You've got the green light." So I went back up to the 8th floor. I said, "I can't take the offer. But I'll tell you later why." In October 1992, we left the bank and then started this spiritual adventure in fellowship with God and that wonderful man of Calvary, the man, Christ Jesus. Initially in Poland. The last visit to Poland in June 1993. Boxing Day 1992, I landed at Tirana Airport. Then began 6 visits to Albania, the land of the eagle. The last one was in April 1996. We continued in Hungary and Bulgaria until 1994. But the aim was, we need to concentrate. So there were 2 countries, Albania, 2 months of the year. Romania, 4 or 5 months of the year. In 1995, May, I had a month in Albania. Got home for the weekend and flew out to Romania for another month. When I got back from Romania, I said to Sue, "Next year, we must go to Romania to live." And in that same period, God, the head of the church, had spoken to Sue. And in May 1996, we left Chesant and we started to live in the land of Romania. No thought of being involved in Christian infant schools. No thought of buying gospel tents. Our main exercise and burden was to teach the word of God, to build up and to spiritually educate Romanian assemblies. Our initial aim was to learn the Romanian language. It was hard. It was a steep learning curve. There were the hits and the knocks. But God, who called us, is the one who sent us, and the same unchanging God who has continued to sustain us during the last 28 years. To God be the glory, great things he has done. And tomorrow afternoon and evening, with the Lord's help, we want to say a little of what God has done in the past and continues to do in the present, to his praise and for his eternal glory. Amen.